Okay, this is Sam Witwer.
Sam Huntington!
Sarah Allen.
And Mark Pellegrino.
And here we are with Being Human, episode 11, Going the Dutch.
Going Dutch.
Going Dutch.
Going Dutch.
There's no song for that one.
Going Dutch.
You can make one up.
Dutch.
Who cares? Who cares?
So, we're previously on that episode.
Right.
Bernie, he's a murderer. He's not a murderer. Bruce, they staked him.
He would have been a murderer.
Oh, come on, sooner or later.
Exactly.
Oh, there
they
are.
The
wonderful Terry Kinney as Hegeman, the head of the Dulce.
The Hegeman.
The head of the Dulce.
Head of the Dulce. In Greek, it means the leader.
This is the first time you see the blood then, like, pretty well lit, I almost feel like.
Oh, or from this angle.
Yeah, from that angle. And it really kind of makes it look really cool.
Yeah.
Look, I love the wooden, like, inlay.
You know, I have a regret about this opening monologue because they kind of time it out, and sometimes I time it out or whatever. You know, you read it over this stuff. You see the picture and you're reading it, and I missed an opportunity because I say something like evolution, and as soon as we learn to crawl, we stand on two legs. And I could have timed it and said it with a certain irony about the chicks. They stand on two, you know, because they're there.
That's because right when they stand up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I could have added a little irony in there.
That would
what would you call it? Is that irony or is that just a double entendre?
Eagle
the Dutch.
Yeah, it is.
Or I don't know what.
Going Dutch. It's called Going Dutch.
I see. Yeah.
Arthur Holden.
You remember this whole thing about the water?
Yeah.
The harbor?
Yeah.
Terry Kinney was very funny because he kept. We had to do this over and over again. And so they were saying, you know, what about the harbor? Well, we always go to the harbor. I guess we'll have to feed by the water.
You know? I know. I love how he says
it. I love that. Yeah. And my character is, you know, again, the harbor is, it's not like it was before. And I say that. And so we kind of played it like they kept asking you about the harbor because we kept doing the scene over and over again. And Terry Kinney would be like, okay, we will try the city feeding. And then afterward, and all the Dutch would go, harbor time! I just really wanted to go to the harbor. It was funny.
These girls were good sports, huh?
They were, and I love the way that she plays this. She plays it like she's been waiting for this. This is exciting for her. Because, well, after all, she's a groupie, basically.
Yeah, and there's obviously more to it that we don't know right now.
Well, she thinks, I mean, any of these ladies think the vampire thing is really cool. Now, our show plays it that it's not cool. It actually totally sucks to be a vampire. But they're very excited.
Let me ask you something. Both of you vampires.
Arthur's getting a little bit sassy.
Yeah, sassy.
I have a question.
Yes.
So, several times on the series thus far, You guys have bitten into, primarily you, Samuel Stewart, have bitten into a female, and they've kind of displayed ecstasy, or the fact that, now just to comment on what's happening on screen right now.
Yeah, this is bad. This is really bad.
Just brutal.
The brutal slaughter.
Yeah. But so anyway, the question is, what's the deal there? Does it feel good? Intoxicating for women? Like,
it didn't feel good for you. You were like, uh-oh.
Because it was a real shock, though, right?
But, yeah, I think it's if you're prepared for it, if you're looking
for it. If you're waiting for it.
Yeah. Then it can
now,
be exciting.
Do we have that in our mythology, that there is a poison injected into the bloodstream
that you give to
the vampire that does something to your body? Or is it just the loss of blood, you know, blood being drained out of your brain that makes you feel kind of static,
floating? You're grossing me out.
Come on.
I don't know. I like to believe.
Let's figure this mythology out.
Yeah, but it's true, though. I like to believe that it's the former, actually. That it is something that
I think it's
transfers.
I think it's psychological.
Okay.
The way you kind of seduce your victims as well.
We do have mental powers.
That's the way.
If you watch the comments, speaking of commentaries, if you watch the commentary for among other movies, Conan the Barbarian, which by the way is an awesome, it's actually an awesome movie. And there's this great thing where Schwarzenegger is talking about all these things, and there's a point where James Earl Jones is hypnotizing someone. And Arnold Schwarzenegger says,
Look at that, it's total hypnosis. Totally hypnotized.
With an M.
That's awesome.
Total hypnosis.
Hypnosis. Totally. Perfect.
Look, she's totally hypnotized.
Amazing.
I love that guy.
He is the governor of California.
That's right. Well,
not anymore.
But that's right. Fair enough, but come on.
As far as the rest of the world's concerned.
And now you just broke... Did you just break up something between her and Dr. Reed?
Not now. No. This is me. I hadn't seen her in a little while, right? Because
you got captured.
I got kidnapped.
Yeah, kidnapped.
We had a date, if you'll remember. I was shucking corn.
Yes.
Gonna do this big date thing.
In the dog eat dog episode, yes.
Yep. And,
Snoop dog eat dog.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, in her eyes, I basically just ditched her,
right.
And so now she's pissed, and she's about to reveal something to me that makes her.
Oh, this is the big reveal.
Yeah, this is the big one.
Yeah. And she's pretty sure it's yours, but actually, it might be Dr. Reed's.
She already did, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's already revealed that.
Yeah, she has. And you're like, I think it's Dr. Reed.
And she's misreading my... I think it's Dr. Reed. she's misreading my fear and...
trepidation.
Yes, for something entirely different. For something a little bit more human than what actually I'm
more worried about.
Just that fear of commitment.
Exactly.
Commitment.
Which I actually think that Nora is being a little unfair to Josh in that regard, because that's a pretty big bombshell to drop on somebody.
But she is dealing with this herself. She wants someone who's going to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that 9 men out of 10
are going to run
when they're not married in a committed relationship. We're not going to run, but they're going to have that moment.
It's going to be a shock.
Holy cow!
You've got to like that. So wait, everyone. So ladies, take note when you're telling your boyfriend or some guy you slept with that you're pregnant.
Thank you.
Give him a moment.
Give him a moment. give him a moment to break it down, to digest
a little bit.
Sir, there were several takes in here where you had a genuine curiosity. about me personally? You were really asking that question, almost out of concern. It seemed like
what question?
Then it goes,
Sorry, there's no
the whole. Why would you go? Why would you go underground? Why are you? Well, actually, it's not that yet. It's the whole. Why are you letting him ruin your life? Or why are you?
Why
going
are you back
along?
Here? Basically.
Yeah.
Doesn't make much sense to me. I felt, maybe as an actor, but I felt as a character, that everything was falling apart. Mm-hmm. Nothing made sense, and we were supposed to be kind of the hero or the force of good in my life, but instead...
But I've completely messed it up.
Murdered my child,
mm-hmm.
Now you're turned to the dark side.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Well, and remember, we talked about how...
I mean, what a track record. You kill her, you murder her child.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
This does not make a good relationship.
No, it's not going well.
Anyway, I interrupted you. Sorry.
And the thing is we had talked about...
Oh, yeah, her.
We...
Just kidding.
Megan.
Just kidding. It's the first time you see
Megan.
Megan's
in Montreal,
room, so.
By the way.
Yeah,
she's in Montreal.
That's why she's not here.
But we had talked about how when you became a vampire... Sure, you're going to, I guess, in some form live on, but you can't have children.
No.
And that's kind of a big blow for a lot of women to say, hey, guess what? No more. And there's almost a... I may have said this in previous commentaries, but I feel like I do. We're doing a lot of interviews these days, so forgive us if we repeat ourselves, but there's an element of a sexually transmitted disease thing there, that we were together and that I was irresponsible and that you caught something for me in a weird way. There's a metaphor there too.
Interesting. I don't know if I actually thought about that before.
Yeah.
So you're not repeating yourself.
There are things that you can give someone that would make it difficult or problematic to have a child, and that's
sure.
Yeah.
That's
or to have a relationship with anyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or to trust the other person, the person you're with.
Exactly.
So this, I love this is Ellen David who plays the
medium
here, and she does a really nice job because she is kind of just sweet this whole sure. time, you know? Like, sure. the funny thing is, like, it's pretty, it's honest to me. Like, you could have played this character, she could have played this character, is this kind of, I'm this witch doctor who's coming into your house, and I'm kind of, you know, because that's the kind of easy way to go. It's, she's supposed to be this person who's exercising the house, right? So in Sally's eyes, she is the bad guy. But at the same time, if you look at it from a real human point of view, people do this all the time, where it's like they bring a medium into the house just sure. to kind of exercise the spirits in the house and get the bad energy out, da 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 da. And generally speaking, they are these kind of like sweet, affable people who are very spiritual. And so I'm glad that she played it like that. She's just kind of like this. Yeah, she's more of a real person than like a real caricature.
I love Vince in this scene.
I think he's fine.
I think that there's like, it's a different. There's a very concerned. He's really worried here.
He's so good
for his own.
He really is. He really is preserving his.
But I mean, the fact that he actually touches the guy, he actually puts his hand in his chest. He's really kind of, things are not going well for Vince here. By the way,
and you can see him like digesting, like the fact that this is all kind of slipping through his fingers.
He's so. I just think one of the coolest casting decisions ever.
Yeah, he was
both of these gentlemen. But let's talk about Vince here for a second. He's just so good at playing this character, but making you feel oddly sorry for him.
Yeah,
which is impressive.
That's right. I mean, he is like the kind of the forgotten son.
He is. He's been dealt
with. He's also the loyal son.
Right.
Exactly. He's totally loyal. He's doing everything
up until
he can.
This point.
Yeah,
giant.
Exactly.
Pretty significant.
He's very loyal, Mark.
Yeah.
All right.
Loyal until
you pushed
now.
Him.
Until now.
You pushed him.
It's your fault. Yeah.
Of course, everything is Bishop's fault.
Yes. We
like still holding on.
Bishop.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Sally now realizes, uh-oh.
Can't get out of there.
Yeah.
What is that, salt again? Is that what
salt,
it?
Yeah.
Salt.
Salt is a barrier to the spirit
you
world.
Would hope that they do stuff like that, they use that as a gimmick in the next season, right? So we throw some salt in front of her and she's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, cool. and she's bigger than it.
Or I put salt
in
my room.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny.
Why'd you put salt around your room? Because I want some privacy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It keeps showing up.
This is not the first time we've come up with some ideas.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Especially
the
writers. Actually, listening to this commentary.
I just have a salt square.
Hey, I don't know.
I just put Charlie in it, my son.
And it doesn't, and he just walks out of it.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't get it.
Turns out your kid's alive.
Well, this show is just lying.
Yeah. Let's address how good Anna and Jeremy and our writing staff are. They are, I mean, because the setup that leads to episode 13 is so well done. All the pieces are put very strategically in place, and in terms of what specifically that means, I can't go fully into that until we get to 13, but boy, every script I was really, really happy to read. And it's not always like that on a show. You'll do a few good episodes, and then you'll get one that you're like, okay, this is actually this is bad.
Right.
It's a bad episode, and you read the script, and you go, all right, we'll do our best to make it as good as it can be, but there's not much you can do, and they never put us in that position, and always came up with great ideas, and even when we disagreed with them, their take was perfectly legitimate and still totally worked, and it was just the only unfortunate thing is that they weren't there with us so that we couldn't have as much interaction with them as we would have liked.
Yeah,
now, this is the scene where Bishop kind of spills his quote-unquote spine a little bit.
Yes.
Gives up his plan, right?
Right.
Yeah. This was important.
One piece of it. You see a piece of it, and then you see the how those elements affect Aiden.
And his confusion.
Aiden does not know that you are thinking about enslaving humanity. So now he's left
or slaughtering millions of people.
But here's the interesting thing about Bishop.
There's something wrong with that.
Bishop seems more interested in having humanity admit its inferiority rather than killing them all. Like, your blood den, you don't actually kill the women there. They donate, and you kind of picture that's maybe the model for which you'd like society to function.
Right, right.
That you want humanity to be a servitor race to the vampires.
Yeah.
Kill the ones that get in the way, but really there's no need to kill them all. In fact, you can't because they're a food supply.
Right.
Right. It's the same way we view cattle.
Sure.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
But it also might not be necessary to kill the ones that are giving the food source as well. So, you know, it's just this...
Cattle that you can have sex with, too.
Yeah! Now right? we're talking... Actually, here's the thing about cattle. You can give it a shot. You can actually have sex with...
Well, I've been there. Yeah.
Lonely nights.
Unfortunately, Bishop's been celibate since the 50s. That's which true. Probably explains a little bit of his angst
he's
and his desire
so
to take her.
Yeah.
He's just wanting to control anything.
Terry Kinney just tearing it up here.
And already exhibited a little bit of some symptoms.
Symptoms.
At the time.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember that.
Terry Kinney, by the way, has the most convincing cough I've ever heard an actor deliver. I actually, during takes, he would start coughing and go, "Is he okay? Did he just blow that take with a cough?" And, oh, no, he's doing it on purpose.
He doesn't have the scene with him.
Oh!
I'm kidding.
Oh!
That's terrible.
Ouch. Terry Kinney has major lung problems.
I
love him. He was such a joy to have on the set.
Really fine.
Just
fine.
Take his baseball glove to work and play a game of catch. Just anything.
Set up a volleyball net.
Coffee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just a...
Hit the ball with a racket.
Exactly.
Set up a makeshift tennis net.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a hell of a guy.
This going back to what you were saying, Ark, this was a really important scene, this one that you guys just had, because up until this point, like, I was always feeling a lot of sympathy for Bishop.
Yeah.
And so it was important for me to see what your ultimate plan was, because... you're almost this sympathetic one in this case. You know, you versus the Dutch, it's like,
yeah.
Really kind of like...
Because they're brutal,
but
they want to keep it small scale.
Right,
they,
right.
They will kill people, but they will also stay to themselves and hide out and, you know, and be reasonable about the amount of people they kill. Whereas
right.
You, Mark, you know, would like to enslave millions.
Right. So
I'm
right.
Still trying to find the flaw in the art.
I know it's true.
I think the one thing that gives Bishop strength, even in that argument, is his moral consistency.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if anything, he's saying
he knows what he likes.
Knows what he likes.
He's thought it all through.
He knows what's right.
Hey, by the way, can I just say, okay, for any sci-fi nerds out there like myself, is this not like the good version of the V Space Baby? Huh? Is it not really? Because this is a very effective design. We only see it for a second, but if you freeze
frame
it,
and it's after this big reaction, it's just a flash.
Oh God! Little wolf baby.
Wow, the werebaby.
Yeah,
but
it's gross.
V in the
so
80s
gross.
Tried to do something very similar, and it didn't work out as well.
Really? I never saw it.
We're gonna watch it. You and me are gonna sit down and watch Mark Singer. In fact, my buddy, me and Glenn Howerton went through all of V, the original 80s series. Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We sat around, and what we did is we watched it, and the parts that were awesome, we're just like, we just watched it, like, wow, they're awesome. And then the parts that were a little bit dated, we exercised our comedic muscle by making fun of it.
Great.
Movie night.
So this was just a fun night? Or like, it was
what we did. It was brilliant. We did this for months. We actually did, because there was
wow.
a whole series. So we went through it.
Wow.
You know, and it's 80s, so it's really...
terrible.
Yeah. Some of it is actually really good.
I totally get it.
Some of it is really good.
I totally get it.
Oh, by the way, Megan Rath is doing an amazing job here. Yeah. I love that she did sort of a voodoo type, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. The sage and
a voodoo, a little voodoo dance.
Yeah. It's nice.
Megan?
Yeah. You know, I had forgotten. We'd seen this episode, by the way, for the first time in New York with an audience, which was incredibly thrilling. And my recollection of Aiden at the end of the season is things go from he kills Bernie and then the Rebecca thing goes down and things just get worse and worse. And, you know, I'd been building up this sense of humor for this guy throughout the season. And I thought, you know, he's lightening up. And then finally all these bad things happen and his humor just goes away. And that was my recollection. And then we watched this scene with an audience and I'd forgotten, like, the audience actually gave me a lot of... gave us a lot of laughs.
Right, yeah.
On this scene.
Yeah,
No, I mean, not yet. Like, we're okay. So Aiden's like, I can't associate with you, Josh. You're part of my old life, and I have to stay away from you, and
right.
and forbidden to talk to you. And then they just fall right back in.
I know, it's awesome. It's like they were meant to be together. yeah.
This is the great. You know that thing that you don't yeah. say
yeah,
to a woman who says yeah. that question.
Well, you didn't.
You didn't say that, did you? This scene got huge laughs.
Yeah, it did.
In the audience.
The funny thing is, when we were shooting this scene, like, I love shooting the scene, but when we first entered into the scene, this was at the end of shooting. Right, so we shot 11, 12, and 13, episodes 11, 12, and 13 all at the same time. So every day you'd come in, you were kind of, like, trying to remember, like, where
were you were in the
were,
story.
And, like, in the story, like, what's already happened, what's going to happen, what you don't know yet. And this was the first time where I came onto set and we were about to shoot the scene, and I had to be like, yo, what's going on? I don't know where I am right now. Like, please remind me. And I think this was Ken Yuel's episode, right? This was,
yeah.
Yeah. And so he was like, okay. So remember, this is what's happening. You just found out you're pregnant. You haven't seen him. He's been, you know, Aiden's
yeah,
been away.
I've been with the
and I had to, like, remember what we had been doing.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know, that was definitely a consistent challenge. You know, and the thing is, you'll do that if you're shooting a film. They'll shoot it out of order, and you have
right.
it's the same challenge, but
right.
you generally get more than a week to
yeah.
assimilate all that information.
Right, right, right.
You have the script.
There's
a beginning, middle, and end, and you have time to think about all these scenes.
Yeah.
With this, it was so rapid fire. You'd get a script not much time in advance. And you wouldn't even know what the outline was. So the assimilating all this was ridiculously
yeah.
difficult. And honestly, there are scenes that could have been better had we, you know, maybe had a little more time.
Yeah.
But, you know, but hey, do your best. We were at lightning speed.
Was this originally a stable for bulls?
Was it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, this building that we...
Octagon shape.
This is great. After everything that Rebecca has been through, all the hell that she's sitting here.
This is the first time you actually see Rebecca doing something.
That's true.
Prepping the party.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
As opposed to like,
yeah, just
moping
in the
foyer. Yeah.
But like, but it's interesting because it's like when you see her, what is her function? Well, she has all the menial labor.
Yeah, she's.
Did they cut out the line where Marcus is saying stuff like, "Oh, you know, it's really bad," or
yeah.
"things are bad," and you go? And you say, well, you know,
try being a woman.
All you have to do is kill a man. Which,
yeah.
did they cut that out?
Yeah, they did cut that out.
Oh,
it's
too bad. It was a great line.
Yeah.
The implication is still, with or without that line, the implication is still that Rebecca not only is having to kill lots of people, but she also has to sleep with
everyone. Yeah.
Really?
Well, she had to make that snuff tape for
her. Oh, right. Yeah,
I mean,
she's kind of a slave in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can imagine what tasks he's giving to her in terms of what she's responsible for.
Right.
You know, because you're gonna, you know, if you go with the mafia metaphor, there's assassinations, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on, there's
right.
people dying left and right, and you can imagine how she's carrying these out.
And she can't have a relationship
with
any
work
of these.
Yeah, you gotta work yourself up from the bottom.
Yeah, these vampire men aren't interested in her as a woman either, because she's not a human woman with human blood.
Right.
Well, but Marcus is interested in you as a potential equal. I mean, how does that work with a vampire dating pool?
Yeah.
Do they date each other? You'd imagine that they would. Because,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Because you were talking about turning Jane and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And you with Celine.
I imagine that we'd like
are we
a couple for her life and be partners, but I don't know. Like, you still have to go somewhere else to get
your sustenance.
And
You could sleep with each other, but you couldn't.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't be healthy.
It wouldn't be the healthiest.
We tried that.
Yeah, we did give that a shot.
I love that. Where he just doesn't touch her.
Oh, that's yeah. That's very creepy. It's very creepy. And yeah, that's
Marcus looks like he thinks he's outsmarting me, or he thinks
right.
He's,
yeah.
yeah.
I'm not digging that right now.
Yeah. No.
You know, it's so interesting. There's so much story here.
Yeah.
Like what we just talked about with Rebecca and all these characters, Marcus, and you could actually do a series twice as long as what we did and have interesting places for these characters to go.
I love that I got to do a scene with Vincent.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
because, yeah, most of my stuff was with you, but it was nice just to have, like, these two secondary characters just hang out for a minute.
That's a great moment, too. You standing up, that, and, like, that was maybe the most effective use of vampire speed in the whole season.
I agree with that. Yeah. How fast did you stand up when you actually did it?
That fast.
I've been prepping that thing.
Yeah.
You guys know how to do that.
Spring loaded.
Standing up and down for months.
To a cable.
It's all practical.
Yeah.
You know, we love Gian Paolo, but you know, we would sometimes because he's a good looking guy. He looks a little bit like Brandon from 90210.
Yeah, like Jason Priestley.
Like
my wife was, Rachel was the first one to bring that up, to me anyway. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, oh yeah, I kind of get that.
I feel like I want to score these scenes, you know. Keep talking.
We can keep going. That's what's happening as he's throwing Bridget up against the wall.
And the sax. Well, yeah, but there's also the sad version. Do 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 do
do do do. Exactly.
I wish people could actually see your face.
Yeah.
And I had my hands in guitar formation right there. This scene got major cheers from the audience as well.
And me.
Or wait, or was it later? It's later that this happens. The part that the cheers happen.
Right, but it's all part of this.
It's all part of
this. It's coming up.
It's coming up.
It's coming up. It's all part of the scene.
I like that. Will she go to heaven? And sure, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
And I like the fact that the show does remain ambiguous.
This is super dark to me. Yeah, this is
This is the famous banquet scene.
Yeah.
So, by the way, when they rigged up this stunt, no one really thought about the fact that there's a pregnant woman on there, and originally she was shackled and all this stuff. So I actually finally brought up, I'm like, guys, there's a pregnant woman on the table.
Thank God for that.
When I throw it at Bishop, and it created this debate, and basically no one wanted to move her because no one could think of how to move her once the... You know,
but we knew the table needed to go.
But yeah, but basically, so basically, you know, I saw, and I could be wrong, Adam Kane could say, no, that's not why I was arguing against moving her or having her jump off the table at the last minute. But you know, because I was arguing, like, you're basically having Aiden, like, kill or injure this woman to stop Bishop. And they froze when I said that. They're like, oh my God, that's right, she's still on the table when that happens later on. Oh no. And then they both argued, well, we'll just keep her on there. And they said that they liked that. And I think it was just because none of us could think about how to get her off the table. And my thing was like, guys, look, if... My thing was this. I just want to acknowledge that that's the move we're making here. And are we cool with that? Are we cool with our hero throwing a pregnant woman at the villain? Are we okay with it?
Yeah.
Is that the show that we're doing? And you know, and they were just like...
Sure.
Their take was whether it is or not, we have no time to figure out the alternative. By the way, I do like that. I like that element of the story. At the time, it was kind of horrifying, but now that I see it, it's like
oh, it's still horrifying.
It's totally.
It's still
horrifying.
It's still awful.
It's really bad.
But
that's just how Aiden rolls.
Can I just comment on a touch? The brilliance of Pellegrini team.
Yeah.
Pellegenius.
Pellegenius. The genius of Pellegenius.
Yeah.
Tucking his napkin into his shirt collar before the when you were about to dive in. I did. That was the first time I noticed it. I was like, oh, he tucks his napkin into his collar. Like he's about to feast. Yeah. It's Thanksgiving.
Pellegrievous right now.
Pellegrievous.
Yeah. So what's the?
Well, this is definitely of Pellaschema.
Pellaschema.
This is Pellaschema.
Which turns
definitely Pellaschema.
Which seems to Pellegrievous. Ooh, Pellegorgeous.
Oh yeah, Pellegorgeous.
So talk to us about this scene, man. This was you were tearing it up here, man.
Well, this is where all of my scheming, comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Where we find out that the Blood Den was, you know, really a plan of mine to incapacitate my enemies so that I could do whatever I wanted.
Which, by the way, if they had actually decided to go along with your version of how the Blood Den should have gone, they would have been fine.
Yep. Very Count
You gave
Monte
them a
Cristo.
Chance.
I gave them a chance, and their own vice undid.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I think gives Bishop even more moral strength.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, you're like, is he really the villain?
And I read online, by the way, that the Dutch go from... Someone said this online in a review. The Dutch, apparently, maybe just the looks on their faces, but the Dutch go from brutal murderers to victims
lots
that you feel bad for.
For that line, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, I forget even, because we can't hear the stuff.
Constricting.
But people were saying they felt bad for the Dutch here. And I guess I'm happy if people did, because that makes it all the more
interesting. That is good. Yeah, that's good.
But Aiden basically acts here because Bishop is ultimately a larger threat to humanity than the Dutch.
And that's all going through his head right now. I think Aiden is trying to figure out what move he's going to do. Like, he knows that this is wrong.
He's
like,
taking stock. Oh, man.
I love that it's not entirely clear
what the
right thing to do is.
Yeah, me too. Well, it's like the whole...
You don't necessarily make the right decision.
Right.
I don't think Aiden ever necessarily ever makes the right decision.
Yeah. I love that shot. That's a great shot.
That's very
funny.
He had it coming. Oh, I can't believe it.
Pregnant lady in your face! Oh, God. How did they launch that table, by the way? That was
I just lifted it. Boom. Okay, so here's an interesting thing. I suggested, because originally they just had Marcus appear with a stake. And I'm like, no, Marcus needs to come out of the shadows and waste me and beat the hell out of me. Because otherwise we don't understand the threat. We don't understand what Rebecca is saving Aiden from. And thankfully, people were like, yeah, you're right. You should. And I think they were concerned that I'd be carrying the Hegeman and, you know, a stunt there would be dangerous.
Right.
By the way, huge cheers here with the reveal of Sarah in the audience. That was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, your character really goes.
This part of the episode really chugs too.
Yeah
it does.
Really moves.
Yeah, originally they had Marcus just kind of standing there saying bad words.
Right.
With the stake, and it's just like, well, there's no real threat unless Marcus gets the jump on him.
Well, there's still a threat, but it's
a threat, but it's a fight.
I thought the way they did it was really nice too. It didn't have to be this big choreographed thing. It was just brutally, savagely beat. Yeah,
a pipe in the throat. Yeah,
pipe in the throat.
Pipe in the throat.
If I had a nickel,
for every pipe I got in the throat. I see what you're... Yeah, see where that's going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't you?
Oh, I did. I didn't, actually.
Okay, so here, another huge cheer moment.
Yeah, huge.
People started flipping out at this point.
This is also kind of one of those moments with Danny that's kind of, morally ambiguous as well.
Sure.
In that it was an accident. Like, he didn't actually mean to kill her.
But the grudge has grown so much.
He's still a horrible person. He's a violent, abusive man. But he didn't mean to kill her. Oh, God, that's crazy.
But in the heat of this moment, and the fact that there's been this growing animosity between the spirit world and Danny, he's kind of ready to...
And him confronting her in such a vicious... awful way.
Well, look what he's doing now. He's strangling the medium.
Trying to kill her again.
Yeah. He had a choice. He could have.
Yeah.
This was the part. Yeah, that was
amazing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It's a great effect.
Yeah, it is.
Really great effect.
Yep.
And the medium now knows.
You know when they.
Ooh, I just got chills. Literally, I got chills right now.
The audience was going crazy because we had Bishop. You start with Mark cutting off the heads, and then Rebecca offing Marcus.
Yeah.
And then this. In New York City.
This is in New York. We were at the Payless.
And why was I not there?
I don't know why you weren't Marcus there, actually. Yeah. I don't know why.
You guys took a trip without me.
We did. It was
amazing.
So disappointed.
It was me, actually.
And I actually asked that you not be
We there. Actively didn't invite you.
Yeah, we were like,
it was
Mark,
a choice.
It'll be better if Mark doesn't come.
Don't invite Pelaschemo.
Pelaschemo.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yes. We had a little glitch there, but we're back.
I don't think any of you would ever have even known that we had a technical glitch if we didn't just tell you.
Yes.
And that it lasted about 2.5 hours.
It did. Yeah.
So she now knows.
Right.
And she's...
She kicks us off. Kicks us off, man.
Soul kicker. Sally is free.
She's out. She's going to slip out that 3-inch slot. She's like a snake. She can writhe through... A tiny
And there
hole.
Goes Bridget.
That's right.
Bridget.
Go.
Dude, he's really rough with
she
her.
She will be beaming back to the Enterprise momentarily.
She will. She's got Spock's birthday tonight. She's got to plan Spock's birthday.
Yeah.
She's the event coordinator of the Starship Enterprise.
Oh, she's in her off-duty.
She's in her casual.
Yeah.
In her...
Her bridge wear.
Yeah. Yeah, tonight, actually, tonight is just a bridge night for Bridget.
That's right.
Sorry, Sally.
Oh my god, you perfectly synced that.
That was pretty good. I'm sorry, Sally.
I feel like they're...
This moment is so awesome.
This is actually... From what I understand, this is Sam's makeup, right? This is what Megan normally comes to the
scene. Yeah,
exactly.
In the morning. First thing in the morning.
After a hard night of drinking in Montreal.
Exactly.
Well, she's an alcoholic.
She is, and she just frequents... St. Catherine Street, the strip clubs on St. Catherine Street. Super sex, I think she
does
a lot.
Right earlier, by the way, I think that was the reveal of pregnancy.
I think it was, yeah. And now is me kind of, and I actually really, really like this scene. I loved this scene actually when we were shooting it, because it's Josh finally kind of being a man. And like owning up to things and like explaining to her that he just literally can't tell her what's wrong with him. And that
thought he could, well, he says I thought I couldn't have children.
Thought,
was,
and,
by the way, he might have thought that.
Yeah, and he really legitimately was just like, "This is what I meant when I said, you know, wait, it's my baby. That's why I meant that, because I didn't think I could have kids." So I really like this.
And then you should have. I'm glad they cut the dialogue after that of, and also you were kind of humping up on Reed there for a while, lady.
You were obviously obviously sexually active with that other doctor.
Clearly sexually active. And how could you not be?
Exactly.
He's charming.
He's charming and handsome. And I'm not.
Looks great in
the
script.
That wasn't actually in the script, but.
But I said you should say it.
Because
I actually wrote... I went and found his script when you were in your trailer and wrote that in.
Scrolled.
Wrote that line in there.
Yeah.
And you saw right through my ruse.
I did.
And you're like...
I knew it was you because it was written in blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, who else would...
Write in blood. I didn't have a pen on it.
Exactly. And you were...
I had plenty of blood.
And you had just come back from...
Yeah.
You know, slaughtering somebody in the... blood den.
In the blood den.
Yeah. You said reserves of blood on your fingertips.
Kristen Hager is just wonderful.
Yeah, she is.
Lovely.
So funny. Some of these scenes I watch and I just go, God, I'm old.
Oh,
so
Lord.
Old.
What?
Dude, I watch it.
Get out of town.
You know what's funny, Sammy? Both you and I look a lot younger now. Right now. Months
know.
After the
I
shoot.
I feel way older now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll speak for myself.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
I look really young right now.
Yeah, I'm out of shape. I am.
You're out of shape. God.
I am. I'm
look
out
at
of
me.
Shape.
Look at poor Bishop.
Stop.
Roll him onto the stage. Roll Bishop onto the stage.
Just a fridge.
Okay,
dolly.
So this was. We shot this the same night that we shot a scene in episode 13 that's a flashback that had a lot of snow. So they're framing out the snow. This was supposed to be shot outside. They didn't expect for snow, so now they're framing out the snow because there's not supposed to be any snow. But you know, even though they could frame out the snow, they couldn't frame out the freezing cold.
It was This was the night that I almost died.
Yeah, which we'll talk more about in episode 14.
And I just have to preface it with this. Vampires are not supposed to feel the effects of cold.
Right.
And so it's probably -2, -4. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can see how my flesh is clinging to my face. And that's all because of...
But you guys did such a... What Mark was commenting on is the fact that you guys do a really nice job
The tremendous amount of concentration it takes simply to be in the moment when your body is so cold it hurts.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it was. It was... I hadn't been that cold, I think, ever.
Yeah. It was a really awful night, this night. And you guys... I remember I wrapped at 3 a.m. and you guys had to...
We got home at 7 a.m.
Keep going till 7.
And this was when we did the Starsky and Hutch stuff earlier.
Hmm?
Yeah. Is this the one we did the Starsky and Hutch
scene? No, no, that, different day. Different. Okay. That was like a couple days before or something.
Because I think this was a true night.
Yeah. But it's actually snowing right now. They just framed it out and shot us in an alcove so you don't see it.
Yeah, there's. In fact, you'll see in episode 13, there's a pretty significant scene right at the beginning of the episode where you'll see the actual alley the way it...
Yes.
The way it actually looked.
You're going to see us in an alley in episode 13. That's the same alley we're shooting in, same night.
Right.
And so, this, you know, could have been shot indoors if you see what we're shooting into.
Yeah,
But there's a grimace frozen into my face, and
That happens too. I mean, that scene that we do at some point later on down the line here, when there was a blizzard going on.
Talk about Sarah. I thought you did such a tremendous job. In fact, at the Paley Center, Mark Stern.
Was crying. He was crying at the end of this episode. It was extremely sad.
Megan Rath was crying. We had many audience members who...
But how cool is that, though, that the president of the network cares enough about the show and is emotionally moved enough about the product that he's putting out there to actually, cry at the end? We were all crying because it's devastating.
Did you feel like we... Because there was an early version of the scene that was a lot shorter. And we...
Yeah.
We asked for more because this is a... First of all...
It's a tough thing, I think, to write. Someone asking to die.
Yeah.
And when we got the first version of the scene, I think we talked about maybe asking to put more in, but then we realized that there was nothing more to say.
Well, no, we did. They did put more in. There were a few little beats that we asked... That we asked for them to put in, and they did.
I don't remember.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I remember talking to you about this script when I read it for the first time, and I think I was the one who said...
Yeah, you were the one.
I wanted to see more from you guys at the end.
Yeah.
And then you said, you know what, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
And then our beautiful, wonderful, amazing showrunners and writers...
Granted, they made
the perfect adjustments.
They did, because they didn't add too much.
Because you're right, Sarah. I don't think there wasn't that much. There isn't that much more to say. But I also have to say, commenting once again on the cold, that it probably lent itself to this scene too, in the rawness, and that you're just quaking, and it's mortifying anyway. What's going on? Yeah. So
I'll tell you. I got to be honest. I think my work was affected adversely by the cold.
Oh, really?
I do. I feel like I could have done a sharper job.
Interesting.
Whereas Sarah, I think you just nailed it.
I think this is a great scene for both of you guys.
I like to.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It's God.
Hi. Oh.
That's
boy. You look super ugly just now. What happened?
That was a tremendous...
Right before you turned to dust there, you looked really gross.
That was such a great performance.
Thanks, Sam.
It's very good.
I thought you handled that all really well.
Well, thank you, but...
Wow, that's it for that episode.
Bye.
Bye, Sarah!
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Wow.
See you later. We're all crying, actually.